We're going to go into our word this morning, and for those of you that don't know, one important announcement that I would like to just also bring is that last week, first of all, it's good to be back together, isn't it? Come on. It's good to be back together. I think it's good. I like you. Do you like, you know, is this a two-way thing? Okay. No, I was like, this is way too long. For those of you that don't know, we had to cancel service last week due to inclement weather. And then I'm looking at the forecast, I'm like, on a Sunday, we get some more snow. And so if you're here, we are just so grateful that you are here. And we just love worshiping the Lord together as a church family. But last week, so we had our online service, and we actually kicked off our Advent series and also our Advent reading plan. Now, for those of you, we're going to talk a little bit about what is Advent. But if you would like to join us in that reading plan, it ends up being about a half a chapter a day of reading and then just a little time of reflection. But really, Advent is all about having an anticipation of the coming of the Lord Jesus in your life. And that's really what the season is about. We're not just counting down the days till Christmas, although growing up, I had one of those calendars. You know, my mom would always get me those punch-out calendars that had the chocolates in them. And I don't know that I ever made it without just opening them all, like in one sitting. I had a really difficult time counting down the days and getting I wanted it all at once. But it's more than just a countdown to Christmas. It's an anticipation and an expectation of the Lord revealing himself to you and coming into your life. And so how many of you would say, I want that, right? Like, I want that. The reading plan, we are about 7 days in. It's not too late to get that. You can go to dwellinghousechurch.com/Bible. All right. You can also pick up a hard copy right by the offering box. We printed out hard copies of the reading plan. And then on that, there's instructions on how to reflect it each day. And it's just a very meaningful time. And I'm very grateful because it's starting from the very beginning of why did we need a Savior? Right? And why did we need the Lord? We were in a bit of a mess. And how many of you are thankful that God sent his son? Amen. And so join us on our Advent reading, and that's what we have here. We have our Advent wreath, our Advent candles. Last week, we burned the candle of hope, and this week we will burn the candle of peace. And we're also going to be receiving communion together at the Lord's table at the end of the service. So if you are here today, we celebrate an open communion. And so if you're here today and you're saying, I just want to receive more of the Lord in my life, you are welcome to receive communion with us today. I want to start in Isaiah chapter 9. And so if you have your Bibles, this is just a good verse to reflect on, to meditate on. And many of you are probably somewhat familiar with this. I would say if there was a list of Christmas verses, this is definitely on the list. Isaiah chapter 9, starting at verse 6, it says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful." Everybody say Wonderful. How many of you know when we see him, we should be in wonder? And if you aren't really in wonder about the Lord, and it's like, well, I've heard all the stories, and I know the verses, and I've said the prayers. If you are here today and you are not in wonder of the Lord Jesus, I would argue you're not actually seeing him correctly. Because when we see the Lord, it is a constant state of wonder. Lord, I cannot believe what you have done for me. Lord, I'm so thankful for who you are. I'm thankful for your love. And so we need to be in wonder. Lord, give us eyes to see you. Amen. His name will be called Counselor. In other words, he will be the one to have the right thing to say at the right time. We all need a little bit of direction and a little bit of help. We need wisdom from the Lord. He will be called Mighty God. In other words, there is never a time where he comes short. He is Everlasting Father. He is a good father who knows how to keep you, protect you, and raise you up. He is Prince of Peace. His kingdom is marked by peace. Everybody say peace. And of the increase of his government, there will be no end. Not talking about political government, although that's what people assumed. The people were in bondage at this time, and they were anticipating someone to come and deliver them from the bondage that they were in. They were prisoners of war, basically, slaves. And they were expecting a political king, but how many of you know the king does have a kingdom, but it's the kingdom of heaven. Of the increase of that government, there will be no end. So what is Advent? It sounds like a fancy word, and I would say it is. It comes from the Latin word Adventus, which means coming or arrival. It's really a both and. It refers to the coming of Jesus in two senses. First, his coming, his birth in Bethlehem, but it also refers to his future coming, his promised return as king, his second coming. How many of you know Jesus is coming back? Amen. And we want to be ready. We want to have eyes that are available. We want to have hearts that are pure. We want to live lives that are holy to the Lord. And I would argue it is more important than ever to live lives that are holy to the Lord. You know, Scripture says that as the day approaches, darkness will continue to increase. But also, as the darkness increases, Scripture says the light will increase. Well, Jesus said, you are the light of the world. And so there is an importance. People are watching your life, amen? Our life is to be a witness to the people around us that we have something and someone different, that our hope isn't in what everybody else's hope is in. Aren't you thankful that your hope doesn't need to be based on what you can do? Because I don't know about you, I have a lot of shortfalls. I have a lot of things that I'm not very good at. But how many of you know we serve a faithful God who loves us, who is our refuge, who is our protection, who is our salvation, and that as we put our trust and our hope in him, he comes through every time. And so Advent really is, it is a celebration, but it is also an anticipation at the same time. And as I mentioned, we have four candles, and then a candle at the center. This candle in the center, we are going to light on Christmas Eve. It's Christmas Eve. It's the best. You don't want to miss that. I feel like you guys aren't taking me serious. It's the best. It's awesome. We go through the real Christmas story. We sing carols. We worship. We have candlelight. It is just such a precious and holy time. This year, we're going to be lighting that middle candle on Christmas Eve, but I'm also very excited because we are also making plans to add light to the cross, and so we're going to have our lighting on Christmas Eve for that as well. Yes, it's going to be very exciting. Funny story about that. I can share this, right? So in anticipation of what do we got to actually do to get this thing backlit, because we don't know how it was put up there. We purchased this building. We moved in about 4 years ago. And so we were like, you know, it's pretty secure. It's never fallen. And so that's really good. And so we took it down, and it came down super easy. It was very nice. We took care of it. And we figured out, okay, this is what we're going to have to do to kind of just pull it away from the wall and add some lighting behind. And because we want the cross to be the first thing people see. That's why we're doing this, by the way. When they come in, we want that to be what they're seeing. And so we're going to add some of that behind it. But we took it down. Well, Pastor David, in his infinite wisdom, he's like, you know what? I bet you AI can make it look like that cross broke and fell down. So he took a picture, and he said, make it look like there's a big hole in the wall, and that that the wall's been damaged, and that whatever it was, I don't know what the prompt was. And he got this photo, and he sent it to the team, and he said, and then Zach said, I fell. And so there was this AI-generated image of no cross, a huge hole, and just like, everybody's like, oh no. I was like amazed at how good this looked. I was like, I can't Photoshop this any better. It was really funny. And we sent a text and everybody's fine, everything's good. And it went down easy and it went up really easy. So thank the Lord for that. All that to say, we are going to be lighting that fifth candle on Christmas Eve. But last week, we lit the candle of hope. This week, we are going to be lighting the candle of peace. And that's what I want to talk to us today about, Jesus, our peace. Everybody say that. Jesus, our peace. Listen, if there is an absence of peace in your heart, the only source, the only true avenue of having a life and a heart that is filled with peace is the Lord Jesus himself. Now, It's interesting, and we're going to find this out. But Jesus, when he came to the earth and as he was teaching, there were things that he said that seem counter to that. Let me give you for instance. Jesus said, let your hearts, when he was about to ascend into heaven, he said, let your hearts not be troubled. You will face trouble in this world. You see, many of us would define peace as the absence of conflict, or we would say peace is everything's going good in my life. But how many of you know things can actually be going really bad in your life, but on the inside, you still have peace? Do you see what I'm saying? You will face trials. There will be tribulations. But scripture also says, I've never seen the righteous forsaken. Aren't you thankful that the Lord never leaves you? Even in the midst of trouble, even in the midst of difficulties. But in the midst of the chaos, there can still be a peace on the inside. And so if there is a lack of peace in your heart, if there is concern that you have, anxiousness, covetousness, if there's just a desire that I don't have enough, I'm not happy enough, I'm not fulfilled enough. If there is a lack in your heart, I would say there's probably a lack of the person of Jesus in your heart, because he provides that. In fact, he's the only true source of that. The world cannot provide it. I promise you, the world cannot. Let's look at this. Okay, I'm getting ahead of myself. I want to start at Luke chapter 10, and can we just do this? Can we just lift our hands to the Lord and just begin to thank him for his word? Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word. We ask that you would bless, Lord, your holy scriptures, that we would see you, that you would speak to us by your spirit today, in Jesus' name, amen. I want to look at Luke chapter 2, starting at verse 10. We're talking about Jesus, our peace. And this is the angel speaking to the shepherds. Luke chapter 2, starting at verse 10, it says this. It says, then the angel said to the shepherds, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts. In other words, some versions will say there was an assembly of an angel army. In other words, multitudes of angels. They began praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill towards men. How many of you know that in order to celebrate Christmas correctly, we must first understand what the human condition really is? Many people have their definitions of what Christmas is or what Christmas should look like. If you watch Christmas movies, it's all about family, right? It's about being kind towards others. It's about giving gifts and giving more than maybe you receive. It's about the Hallmark romance, right? There's all these different identities of what Christmas really is, but if we don't actually understand the human condition, we don't really have a good biblical understanding of what Christmas is. How many of you know Christmas really was a rescue operation? It was boots on the ground. It was God invading earth to turn your situation around. Because we were all on a path of destruction. And I'm not just saying things were going to be difficult in life. No, we were on a path of an eternity apart from God, which is an eternity of darkness, an eternity of torment. But because of him and because of this rescue operation, we can have life eternally with him. Amen. And so when we consider Christmas, if we don't really appreciate where we are, we won't really appreciate what the Lord is actually coming to do. That the Lord really has a plan and a purpose for your life. I want to look at Matthew chapter 10, verse 34. This is Jesus speaking to his disciples. So we just read this huge pronouncement about the angels saying, peace on earth, goodwill towards men. And in Matthew chapter 10, this is Jesus speaking to his disciples. He says, do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. Well, that sounds contradictory. Jesus said, "Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword." You know, this really does sound contradictory, but this is really not contradictory at all. Jesus was, in this case, speaking specific to family relationships. He was saying that if you really do put me first in your life, there will be people in your family that are not happy about that. It should be no surprise to you that when you really give your heart and your allegiance to the Lord and you follow him to the best of your ability, meaning you're going to church, you're spending time with him, you're seeking him, listening to him, walking it out, there will always be people in your life that will try to get you to stop, to get you to quit, or to back down. And Jesus was saying, this is just the reality. But the only way that you can have his presence in your life is by putting him first. And so this really does say that Jesus is willing to actually cause disruption in the family unit in order for him to have his proper place. Now, this is necessary because how many of you know the Lord's not going to force anybody to do anything? The Lord has made himself available. He died for us. He's given us eternal life. But to only those that would actually choose his way, that would only confess him and receive that salvation. And there are many who have rejected that salvation. And it is so interesting that the Lord will actually use the family unit to bring about the expansion of the kingdom of heaven. What do I mean by that? It means that if you really are willing to endure the discomfort that comes from family rejection because you're following the Lord, it is a sign and a witness to those in your family that Jesus is worth living for. If you back down and you say, I'm just gonna cool it a little bit. I'm just gonna be a normal Christian. I'm gonna be an American Christian, because that's really what you're saying. I'm gonna be an American Christian who goes to church on Sundays, but then I'm just doing my thing. Let me tell you, it is going to be lukewarm. It is going to be miserable, and you will quit. Jesus said, you cannot be lukewarm. I would rather you be cold or hot. You cannot have it one way or the other. I remember, and I've seen it time and time and time again, about people who have given their life to Jesus, and the Lord met them in a powerful and meaningful way, and they chose to follow him, and they get to their home, and their family begins to talk them down and out of it. And I've seen it to the point where it is relentless, and I've seen people just say, I'm just gonna back down a little bit. And in those instances, none of them end up following the Lord, because you cannot have it both ways. Listen, your life and your decision to follow him is to be a sign and a witness that even in the midst of difficulty, even in the midst of chaos, even when you don't approve, I'm committed to following Jesus. And that is worth something, that is worth my life. That is worth dying for. But if we're not willing to give everything, because how many of you know Jesus gave everything? The Father gave everything. Somebody say amen. Amen. When the Father gave Jesus, did he give everything? Yes. He gave everything. And so what is he asking for return? He's saying, would you give me everything? I love that story that Micah shared about giving to the Lord something that is precious. And the most precious thing that you can actually give him is your heart. That's really what he's after. And that if you would actually give him your heart, it will cost you something. But how many of you know what you receive in him is so much greater? Come on, somebody say amen. And his will is that none should perish, but that all should enter into eternal life. And that means that those family members that you have that don't agree with your theology, that don't agree that Jesus is Lord, that don't want anything to do with church or with the Lord himself, listen, the Lord is using you and your life to be a sign and a witness to see his kingdom come into their life. And here's the better thing. You don't need to make it happen. The Lord wants to do this. Don't think for a second that the Lord's given up on anybody. He never gives up. The Lord is pursuing those that you love. He is drawing them. But the Lord uses people who have seen him, who have received him, to come to know him. Somebody say amen. So Jesus was saying, I've come with a sword. In John 14, 27, Jesus says to his disciples, peace. Everybody say peace. Peace. We're talking about Jesus, our peace, right? He says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Not as the world gives, do I give you. Jesus is speaking to his disciples right about when he's about to be crucified on the cross. And he's telling them, listen, I'm going to be going away. But I'm giving you something called peace. But it's not the peace that the world offers you. It's not the peace that the world gives. It's not the peace that the world can provide. The word peace is akin to the word shalom in the Old Testament. In fact, the word shalom was used as a greeting when people would both come and go. They would say shalom. And really what it was a blessing or a proclamation saying, I am declaring the Lord's peace on your life. So if I come and my son Micah, he comes and he enters the house, I can say shalom. And what I'm really saying is I'm making a declaration of blessing. And I'm saying the Lord's peace, order, and blessing on your life, that he would set all things straight in your life. And that's really what Jesus is leaving. Jesus' impartation of peace is him saying, I am bringing my kingdom and my righteous rule in your life. And so Jesus brings something called peace, but it's not the peace that the world gives. Listen to 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 1. This is talking about the peace that the world has to offer. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. This is Paul writing to the church of Thessalonica. He's talking about the return of Jesus. And he says, for you know yourselves perfectly that the day of the Lord, when Jesus returns again, so comes as a thief in the night, meaning we don't know when, we don't know the hour. Okay, listen, I'm just going to give you a little hint. If you are on social media and someone says, I know when Jesus is coming back, don't listen to that. Because Jesus said, no one knows, not even I know. Only the Father knows. Okay? What we do know is he is coming back. But we don't know the hour or the day. He comes as a thief in the night. Verse 3, for when they say, when who says? This is talking about the world. When the world says, peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them. As labor pains upon a pregnant woman, they shall not escape it. Listen, the world wants peace. There is nobody in this world that really wants to live a life of chaos. Everybody wants peace. And the world will promise it. The world will say, peace, safety. Everything's good. Don't worry about it. Just take it easy. The world wants peace, but according to Scripture, the world cannot bring about peace in and of itself. It will not be able to bring peace to itself because how many of you know we need outside help? Can the world know peace? Yes, it can. It just can't be the source of peace. What do I mean by this? If we are saying, don't turn to the world for our peace, what are we actually saying? Really what we're saying is, you don't need to live life to make it happen for yourself. You don't have to have this fear of not being seen or not being heard or not being loved. You don't have to live in that way because in Jesus, we have our security. We have peace with God. And so can the world know peace? Yeah, it just can't be the source of it because Jesus is our peace. To know him is to know peace. To know him and to have him is to have peace. You know, we may think that peace is, you know, we're going through life and, you know, I'm kind of looking and seeing what is the status of my life. And I look at it and everything is pretty good, right? Like could things be better? Sure. But I would say overall, there's a measure of peace. But if it is according to the system of the world, it is available to be torn down. It is available to destruction. And so Jesus, our peace, is saying, listen, if you would just choose me, If you would consume me and not consume the world, then your world will be changed. But if you try to change your world, you won't have the resources to do it. I think sometimes we have this, there's a dissatisfaction in us, and we oftentimes misinterpret a dissatisfaction of not actually following the Lord for really a dissatisfaction in life. And when there's that dissatisfaction, what do? We often try harder. We often do more. We often say more. And we try to make it happen for ourselves. But how many of you know that's not what the Lord is saying? He's saying, listen, if you have me, I'm making myself available. If you have me, you will have peace. Somebody say amen. And so when we just read in Luke chapter 2, verse 14, the host of angels, they sang, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill towards men. Now this peace is not just the absence of chaos. It's not just things going well. No, Jesus said there will be trouble in your life. This peace is reconciliation with God himself. That there does not need to be enmity between your spirit and the Lord. That you actually, in Christ Jesus, can not only know him, you can be one with him. That this is a reconciling peace, that it is the solution of peace that the world cannot provide. It is the peace that sets things right and sets us on the course of everlasting life. The NIV version says it this way, and other versions are similar. It says, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace, that reconciling peace, to those on whom his favor rests. Listen, I just want us to sit on that just for a moment. Peace to those on whom God's favor rests. That means that God saw your condition and he decided to favor you with a solution. That God saw you in your weakness. He saw you at your weakest point and he decided, I am going to favor you and give you a way out. I'm going to bring favor and grace to your life and I'm going to turn this situation around. God saying, I'm favoring you and I'm choosing you. I'm favoring you and I am blessing you. I am picking you. And if you are here today, I need you to know that God saw your need and he is saying, and he sees your need and he is saying, I will favor you. I will bless you. I will choose you again and again and again. When you don't choose me, I will choose you again. Glory to God, peace on earth, and goodwill towards men. That's a loaded statement. Can you not see the heart of the Father in that one saying, behold, your king is coming. Why? Because he chose you. Because he saw you. And you could not save yourself. The world could not do it. Scripture says there's no one righteous, not one. You can't earn your way. You can't say, I'm just a pretty good person and expect to be good. No, there is only one way, and his name is Jesus. And he is the one. He is the person of peace. He is the embodiment of it. We've done events in the community before, and I'm reminded of what some of the people would say. I can't tell you how many times I heard this, but we would do celebrations, events at parks or drive-up movies, whatever. And people would come up to me, and they would say, it just is so peaceful here. Like, there's just something about this atmosphere. How many of you know that's us? That's the light of the world being out in the dark places, being the light that he intended us for us to be, bringing peace wherever we go. Why? Because he is peace. He is peace. Now listen, you might be here and you might be agreeing, yeah, I know Jesus, he wants peace in my life. No, listen, Jesus wants you to have him. And he's peace. If your objective is just to have more peace in your life, you are going to leave here and miss it. The desire, the target is always to have more of him. Because he is our hope, because he is our joy, because he is our salvation, and he is our peace. Amen? So how do we receive peace? Romans 5 verse 1 says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. We have peace with God through Jesus. He is our peace. Jesus is the source of peace. In fact, Jesus, he even calls himself, I'm the door. I stand at the door. I'm knocking. I am the door. I am the doorway to all things to God. He is the doorway to heaven and earth. He is the doorway for earth to get to heaven. And so to embrace him as the one who is peace, right? Doesn't scripture call him the Prince of Peace? To embrace the Prince of Peace leads to becoming a partaker of peace. You know, our world system is set up in such a manner, and we're conditioned to live life that if I perform, I will be rewarded, right? So growing up, if you made your bed, you could go outside and play. If you didn't make your bed, you had to stay inside and you were grounded, right? If you study for the test, you'll get an A, but if you don't study for the test, you're gonna have to take the class again. If you do good at your job, you're gonna get promoted. If you don't do a good job, you're probably gonna get fired. Our world system is set up in a performative manner, and we often bring this performance-based system into our walk and relationship with God. And we think that in order to have peace, we have to earn it. In order to have peace, I have to try harder. In order to have peace, I have to deserve it. I have to be good enough. But how many of you know that through Jesus, we are awarded favor and blessing not based on our performance? Somebody say amen. We don't earn God's favor. He's chosen to give us his favor. We don't earn God's peace. It's freely available to us through Jesus. Now, I'd mentioned this, that holiness, which I believe is more important as the days go by, I would argue that holiness, to live a life that is holy to the Lord in a way that honors him, and should that be our goal? Yes, it should. Our lives are to be an offering and a fragrance to the Lord. I would argue that holiness is a byproduct of his peace. You see, when I don't have peace with God, I overcompensate oftentimes with, let's just call them for lack of better words, medications. I medicate my life because there is a lack of peace. I can't stop. I'm not happy and I'm dissatisfied, so I'm going to work more. I'm happy, unhappy, and dissatisfied, so I'm just going to zone out and binge Netflix. I'm happy and dissatisfied, so I'm going to invite substances to make me feel better. But if you have peace, there's no reason to do those things because I don't need them. When we're at peace in our heart and we have peace with the Lord, all of a sudden there's something in us that's like, I already have what I need. I don't need to do anything else. I don't need those medications in my life. And so peace becomes a component of my life that brings order and delivers us from destruction. So it would be improper to say, if you live right, you're gonna have peace. The proper way is, if you have peace, you'll live right. And so when we embrace Jesus, who is our peace giver, your life becomes full of peace. It's available to you. It's available to us. And if there is a dissatisfaction in your heart today, and I feel like there's many here who have a dissatisfaction, and maybe you even blame the Lord, I would say that it's very likely that you have lost sight of him. Because when we see him, not only are we filled with wonder, we're filled with everything that he is. Susie mentioned this on the online teaching, but we're gonna be going through the names of God and doing a study on that, understanding that everything that he is is available to you in Christ Jesus our Lord. He's not holding anything back. And oftentimes that gap that we feel, that discontentment, it's not because he moved, it's because we moved. Maybe our heart and our affection started going to some other things. Maybe because we were dissatisfied, we gave our heart to someone or something. But listen, the only thing, the only place our heart should go is him. And when we do that, we're embracing everything that he is. And one of those things is, Jesus, you are my peace. Lord, there's some chaos going on around me, but I will not be shaken because you are my firm foundation. Lord, 10,000 may fall at my right and 1,000 at my left, but it won't come near me. Why? Because you are my refuge. You are the one who protects me. Listen, it just is a total different mindset. Does it mean that bad things don't happen to you? No. But when bad things happen, you are unwavering because you have him. He has fully made himself available. I mean, just think about what the Lord did for you. Think about what God did. The Father, he saw us in our current state. God saw us. He saw us where we were, that we were separated from him. There was no chance. There was only a promise. And that's really what there was. There was this hope that there's going to be a deliverer that's going to come. And so we celebrate this Advent season with hope. And then when he comes, what does he do? There's this huge declaration of peace. Your life doesn't need to be destroyed anymore. You aren't on a path of destruction anymore. Somebody say amen. You're on his path now. Those who are in Christ Jesus are now on his path. And it is a path of eternal life. It is a path of the kingdom of heaven. It is a path where we can come into his presence with joy, with thanksgiving, and gladness. He has everything that we need. And so the peace of God, when we embrace him, the peace of God, it will bring order that will override the chaos. The peace of God overcomes our bad behavior, and the peace of God will bring his rule, the kingdom of heaven, into your life. Somebody say amen. 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 So this is what I would like for us to do, and I'm going to invite, are you available or not? Nah, you look like you got your hands full. I'll go ahead and take care of it. We're going to just go back into an atmosphere of worship, but receiving from the Lord. And we're going to receive the body and the blood of Jesus, and we're going to come to the table. And again, if you are here and you're saying, Lord, I want him. I want to know this peace. I want you to know that he's available and he's finished the work, that is available to you today. And if you've not given your life to Jesus, I want to encourage you, give your life to him. It's very simple. Scripture says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It's the prayer of faith that brings salvation, believing in your heart that Jesus is real, that his love for me is real, that he has done it. I've tried to do it myself. I've tried to do it my way. Maybe you're here and you gave your life to the Lord, but you kind of pulled back and you're saying, I'm just going to do it my way because it doesn't seem to be working so well. Listen, the Lord is calling you back to himself and saying, would you trust me today? Would you embrace me and all that I am, and I can pour out and bring peace and order to your life? And so if you're here today, as we receive these elements, the crackers, which are his body, which was broken for us, and the juice, which is his blood that was shed for us, his body makes us whole. His blood washes us and cleanses us. This is a powerful gift from the Lord that we are entering into. It's a powerful meal. And so don't take this lightly, but I am inviting everyone to come and receive. And we're going to just line up. We're going to receive, take the cracker and take the juice. We're going to go to our seat. And I'm going to say, don't receive communion alone today, but pray with someone and receive it with somebody today. And as you do, just do this very simply. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for your body that was broken so that I can be whole. Lord, that you've given me everything that I need, Lord, that in you there's no lack. There's nothing missing. Lord, that feeling of desolation, that feeling of discontent, Lord, that's not from you. And I would encourage everybody to give your heart to the Lord today. And then as you receive the juice, Lord, I thank you for the blood that was shed that washes me and cleanses me, that I can have new life. How many of you are thankful that the Lord gives us new life? Listen, he doesn't just make you a better person. He will replace your life with his own if you will let him. It requires trust. How many of you know that requires trust? We like to be the Lord of our own life. We like to be in charge. We like calling the shots. But to give your life to him, it takes trust and it takes humility. Saying, I can't do this. The world can't do this. The world won't give me the peace that I need. But it's who Jesus is. Somebody say amen. Amen. So we're going to go into a time of worship. We're going to line up. I got to light these candles. I don't know the actual order here. Bless you. Shalom. Do I have to pinch the wick? Let's try that. There we go. That's the candle of hope. He is our deliverer, amen? And the candle of peace. The Lord is our peace. He's the peace giver, and to all who would receive him, receive all that he is. Amen. Go ahead and come on up and let's receive communion with one another.
I will exalt you, Lord.
Can we just stand together? Let's just lift our hands to the Lord. Just begin to thank Him right now. Just say, Lord Jesus. Just repeat this. Say, Lord Jesus. Lord, I receive You today. Lord, in the midst of my chaos, in the midst of disorder, Lord, I receive You today. Jesus, all of You. All of You, Lord. Lord, You hold nothing back, but You've given all of Yourself to me. I receive Your peace in Jesus' name. Now let me pray over you, Lord Jesus. Let's just lift our hands to the Lord. I just sense the Lord in this place. Lift your hands to the Lord. Let's just receive. Lord Jesus, Lord, I pray your perfect peace, Lord, over every heart and over every mind in this place, Lord. Lord, You are the Prince of Peace, Lord. It is who You are. It is Your kingdom. Lord, it is proof, Lord, of Your righteous rule in us, Lord, a heart that is yielded to You. A heart that trusts You, Lord. And so, Lord, I just declare, Lord, Your peace over every person, Lord, over every home in Jesus' name. Lord, that we would have eyes to see You, Lord, to see You this season, Lord, to see You today and tomorrow, Lord, every day. Lord, You are the only thing that matters. You are the one thing that is needed. Lord, the world cannot offer it. The world promises, but it's not there. And so, Lord, we put our trust in You, Lord, and I declare, Jesus, You are the Prince of Peace over every heart in this place. Come upon us by Your Spirit, Lord. Fill us now. As we go from this place, Lord, we thank You, Lord, that Your favor is on us. Lord, that You've chosen us. That You've called us by name, Lord, that You know every hair on our heads, Lord, that You know what we need, You know what we face, Lord, and yet You never fail. You are faithful, Lord. And so we receive your peace today in Jesus' name. We receive you today in Jesus' name. We all said amen. Amen. Can we thank the Lord this morning? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Well, isn't the Lord wonderful? Are you filled with a little sense of wonder? Listen, we just do the best we can here to talk about how good he really is. But my prayer is that each one of you would taste for yourself that reality. It's one thing for one person to say it and you hear it, but I do believe the Lord in his grace was speaking to hearts today, saying, would you invite me in? Would you trust me again? Would you choose me? Because I've chosen you. I chose you. I came for you. And I'm coming again. We thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Can we thank the Lord one more time? Amen. I'm really glad you guys were here. I'm really glad you were here. I'm really glad. We're going to continue our Advent series. Again, if you haven't started the reading plan, it's not too late. I would encourage you, get this in your heart every day. You can go to our website, dwellinghousechurch.com/Bible, or grab a reading plan at the offering box. We love you guys. God bless.